I have had a few aha moments in my life. I think we all have, although we don't always recognize them at the time. The little ones, like comparing prices and product sizes when you shop for groceries and figuring out the math in your head for the better deal. You know, I was doing that just last night. I went grocery shopping. That can be a real aha moment for me. But usually it involves a different way of seeing things than I am normally used to, these aha moments. Kind of like this, for example. Two guys with two dogs are walking down the street. The one with the Doberman Pinscher says to the one with the Chihuahua, "Hey, let's go over to that restaurant and get something to eat." The guy with the Chihuahua says, "We can't go in there. We've got dogs with us." The guy with the Doberman says, "Huh, just follow my lead." So they walk over to the restaurant, and the guy with the Doberman puts on a pair of dark sunglasses, and he starts to walk in when a man at the door says to him, "Sorry, mister, no pets allowed." "You don't understand," the guy says. "This is my seeing eye dog." The man at the door says, "A Doberman Pinscher?" "Yeah, they're using them a lot now. They're really very good." The doorman says, "Okay, come on in." Now, the guy with the Chihuahua figures, "Huh, what the heck?" So he puts on a pair of dark sunglasses and he starts to walk in. The doorman says to him, "Sorry, pal, no pets allowed." The guy with the Chihuahua says, "You don't understand. This is my seeing eye dog." The doorman says, "A Chihuahua?" And the guy responds, "You mean they gave me a Chihuahua?" Aha! Now, I mean no disrespect to people or to dogs. But, well, this little joke helps to make the point, I think, that life is mostly what we see it to be. And if you're not looking for it, you probably won't see it. And then there are those aha moments that come along once in a great while and change your life. You know, it could be a point in time or an event or an experience when you have a sudden insight, a moment of clarity, of recognition, and you just know that God has had a lot to do with it. All this is to say that nobody can really say if the Emmaus Road story is true in an historical sense, but it does contain a big aha moment, a life-changing aha moment. This library of books, the Bible, that we read from every Sunday is just packed full of astonishing stories. Stories about healings and multiplying loaves and fish and exorcisms and the raising of Lazarus. The sky opens up at some points in these stories, and the voice of God speaks. These kinds of stories are powerful, and they're packed with meaning, usually on many levels, usually highly symbolic and metaphorical. Not always, but often. These friends of Jesus are so focused. Now I got my pages mixed up. Hold on a second here. Oh, I wanted to quote Peter Gomes, who's one of my favorite theologians and authors, and he writes, All reading is interpretation, meaning we argue sometimes about what's literal and what's symbolic, and Peter Gomes says, every time you pick something up to read, you're interpreting what you read. No two people ever really read the same words in exactly the same meaning. So, but then we look at this morning's story, and it's packed with mystery, but it's also really about simple everyday actions, like listening, caring, like including and sharing. And in these acts, everyday simple acts of openness to others, love births a new reality. This is big stuff today. And so it's early evening, and a couple of Jesus' followers are making their way along that Emmaus road, traveling from a place of hope turned into despair. Their leader, the one who was to have led them to glory and victory over Rome, had been captured and tortured and executed. His broken body had been placed in a borrowed tomb. His followers had scattered, and they were hiding, afraid for their own lives. Since this morning, incredible rumors have been spreading that he may actually not be dead. And so they are joined on their road by a stranger. These disciples or followers are so closed by their focused grief and fear that perhaps this is why they cannot see that the stranger is really Jesus. He talks to them of eternal truths. Still no recognition. Approaching Emmaus, they ask him to stay with them for the night, and while sharing their dinner with him, the stranger takes bread and he breaks it and he gives thanks and he begins to give it to them. And in that simple act, their eyes are opened and they recognize him. And it's not an, oh, you're Jesus, aren't you, kind of moment. No, they see life in a whole new way. It's a shift in perception. Now the life of this Jesus is alive in them. They had been followers of Jesus, and that was beautiful, and that was good, but now they embodied his spirit, letting him manifest through them, becoming one. Expressions of Christ's life, healing the sick, helping the helpless, being radically changed, and then changing our world. The road, you know, is often used as a metaphor for the spiritual path. Amazing things happen when we get on the road. And it's almost never an easy, smooth surface. I know that you know this. Because I know you've been on the road for a long time. University United Methodist Church. You have been on a pilgrimage that has taken you from fear to love, to a more intimate communion, to peace with justice, to authentic inclusive community, on a profound quest for the kingdom of God here on earth. Thank you, by the way, for being who you are and for doing what you do. And now you are being called to something new. An experiment of sorts, I think. A new model for ministry. I've looked at your website. I talked to Pastor Craig. I read his blog. And I also read your district superintendent's urban ministry strategy. I know you're familiar with it, even if you may not have read through the whole thing, I don't know. But you know what? I can see new aha moments with God are coming for you and for the churches in the city of Syracuse. And I'm enthusiastic about it for you. Even if it's filled with questions, confusion, perhaps, doubts, change. The Communities of Shalom strategy is one that I know well, having been trained many years ago. It was a significant approach to our urban ministry in the Old Wyoming Conference. And I'm a great fan of the potential that it holds to open us into alignment with God and God's purposes for the city. It is the strategy that seeded the positive changes that were made by my church, First United Methodist Church in Endicott, from which I retired this last July. So God is doing a new thing. It becomes a cliche these days to say that, but it's true. Christianity is at a turning point. We are at a moment of transformation. A big aha moment. But God still meets us on the road and is our companion along the way. So there's no fear, no worry. In our scripture and in our sacrament of Holy Communion, breaking bread is really an act of solidarity and companionship, of loyalty and friendship, of mutuality and sharing. Jesus, now resurrected, makes God known to us in a bigger, more profound way. These are often unique individual experiences that we share with each other in this community, life-changing moments. And all of us see, all of us recognize Jesus resurrected in everyday, ordinary ways. We still have a lot to learn in and by breaking bread with one another. Anybody here have bread? Oh. Let's give thanks. Let's break the bread. Let's share it and see what happens. Amen.